Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Today on our Friday News Roundup, the dark side of the news, Josh Duggar's wife, Anna, is standing by him and believe he's innocent, says source. Chad and Lori Daybell indicted for the murders of J.J. Vallo, Tylee Ryan, and Tammy Daybell, and two Louisiana men accused of beating women's alleged rapist, then killing her. Today, on the dark side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of Wikipedia.
And it is. And here we are on our Friday News Roundup version of the dark side of Wikipedia. And lots of interesting dark stories for us to cover today, as per usual. And of course, because we're in the season of the Duggars, we have some Duggar updates for you. Of course, a little bit craziness there and all that, but all sorts of stuff. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. If you like the show, support us, become a dark sider, sign up at patreon.com/darkside of Wikipedia. Get to access to all of our advanced episodes of our show, all of the final chapters of our show, all the extras there, advanced episodes. It's all there, all commercial free. If you like listening and you want to just binge and binge and binge with no ads and all that, patreon.com/darkside of Wikipedia. Please go there. Please support the show if you like it to help us continue to exist. So yeah, like I said, Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. What's up?
Oh, hey. So that Duggar story, yeah. I saw that earlier this week. I'm like, I just hope, because those stories that say a source said, I'm like, maybe, like, I hope she's not that type of person. I'm like, you've got children. Yeah. Do the right thing for your children. There are some crazy stories this week. Whenever I see something crazy, I send it to Tony.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, I already saw that one. But there's one today that really, like, it's bizarre.
When I'm putting the show together, I go through Carol's Facebook messages to me throughout the week. Right. And I just kind of scroll backwards and go, what did she send to me in the last 7 days?
And Yahoo News, I tell you.
Oh, God. And oftentimes it fills up half of the show at least. And they're great stories. So I love that you do that because it makes my job a little bit easier.
I can't stop myself. I read stuff like that now and it's like,
yeah.
Tony,
yeah.
I have to send it to Tony.
I know, like once a day, Carol's sending me something horrible. It's like, well,
that's,
yes.
That's our thing.
It is. It's like, how's your day? Great, look at this.
This is disgusting. Carol sent it to me.
It's like, we have to talk about this. But yeah, there's just, there's a lot. I don't know how far, Dave, we're going to get into this. I saw some stories from last week that we didn't even touch that are on my list because they're just so fucked up. And this week there was some horrible things that happened. Of course, mass shootings, because we're in the United States and we have a mass shooting almost every day of the week. But as we're recording this on Wednesday of the week, it's airing Friday. There was a horrible shooting today. I'm not going to go into that today because by the time this thing airs, it's already going to be outdated and there's going to be more information that's out there that when you hear this, it's not going to be relevant. So we're going to stick with some stories today that have a little more longevity, I guess, and more relevancy that is not going to be outdated news by the time it airs. It's not that those stories are insignificant by any stretch of the imagination. They certainly are. But again, it's just the way that podcasts are done. And a story like that, the news is breaking and every hour there's new facts that are coming out and things are changing. So I don't want to be doing something that by Friday, half the shit we talk about is not accurate or relevant. So
right. Because as of right now, we don't really know reasons and things like that. And by tomorrow morning, there could be all kinds of.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why that's not being covered on today's episode. It's not because we want to be more sensational or anything like that. It's just. That's just,
it's pretty sensational. Well,
it is, but we're not a breaking news source.
Yeah.
We're not streaming the latest breaking news as it happens. So that's why that's not going to be on today's episode, but maybe in the following weeks it will be once we know more.
Could be an entire episode actually.
Once we know more of the case and more of the facts. But as of right now, it's such a developing story. It's hard to cover it in its entirety as that happens, unless you're listening to a streaming service. So lots of things today. Should we just jump right into our Duggar update for the week?
Because I think, you know, we got to always start with that.
God, I look forward to the day where maybe we don't have that as the main story. But I got to admit, it is pretty intriguing. I'm looking forward to the documentaries that come out someday.
In a disgusting sort of way.
It is. I mean, it draws you in, but it's just like, God, how these people go around and act so normal. And that's I think the intriguing part of this is it's the scary part of that, of going, you think you know somebody. Although I don't know. I mean, I watched some of that show back in the day on TLC and go, I think I know somebody. And I think there's some shady shit going on here. And everybody's like, oh, it's such a all American, wonderful, moral Christian family. Like, no, somebody's fucking kids. Just wait. Somebody's fucking kids. And no! Well, maybe they were in fucking kids, but there was abuse going on. You know, there was molestation going on. So, you know, my gut was telling me right away there's something not right there, but it took many a years for that to, you know, come to light. So here we go. Josh Duggar, this is from People, has his wife Anna Duggar support amid his ongoing child pornography case. She's standing by him, a source tells People exclusively. She thinks Josh is innocent. Josh has seen his children with Anna there. She has to be there, the insider adds to Anna, who is currently pregnant with a pair's seventh child. Late last month, the U.S. Marshals Service confirmed to People that Homeland Security arrested Josh, 33, and transported him to Arkansas jail, where he's been held without bond. While in police custody, the 19 Kids and Counting alum appeared in court via Zoom and pled not guilty to charges of receiving and possessing child pornography. It's kind of a hard thing to deny when they got your computer and there's child pornography on it, right? I mean, how do you... not guilty, it's there. I mean, what the fuck is that?
Well, obviously somebody you work with is coming in to your office when you weren't there.
And they're downloading child porn on your computer.
Yeah, because, you know, that that shit happens all the time.
And your locked office on your home. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
At the time, U.S. Chief U.S. Chief Magistrate Judge Aaron L. Whittleman also declared during the hearing that Josh would be prohibited from returning to his Arkansas home with his wife, Anna, 32, and their six children. If released, instead, he would have to be in a residence where there's no minors in the home. Josh was released from jail 1 week after his arrest because America! As he awaits trial, he's required to stay with third-party custodians, LeCount and Maria Reber. He's being confined to their home with GPS tracking. You know, I know exactly. Did you send me where that house was? Somebody sent me where it was.
I did. And I know exactly where it is. I did a deep dive onto those people.
It's like it's right behind a Big Lots. And I know exactly where it is.
Because you can look up people. You can find out all kinds of stuff without even having to sign up for a service. Yeah. Like, if you just spend 3 minutes Googling somebody, you can usually find out where they live. And so I did. And
you know,
just because I was curious, I'm like, do you live by these people?
Here's another fun fact of where he's at. He's technically right behind a Chuck E. Cheese.
No, that doesn't even seem legal.
I'm not even kidding. He's right behind a Chuck E. Cheese. Because over in that shopping center, there's a Big Lots, there's a Chuck E. Cheese, there's a Harps grocery store, and like a couple other places. And it's kind of like in an okay, and it's kind of a getting to be a rundown part of town. But I know exactly where it is. I've been to that grocery store a few times when I've like needed to get something, like on when I've been over there. And I'm like, oh, I know exactly where that house is. And it's right behind the fucking Chuck E. Cheese. So, Josh Duggar is in home confinement behind a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's crazy.
Let that sink in for just a moment for you, everybody. Josh Duggar, accused child predator, locked up in the home of buddies behind a Chuck E. Cheese. Weather next. Sun coming over New York City.
I just never thought of Brooks and Dunn being used in a way, in that sort of way.
Josh Duggar's behind a Chuck E. Cheese. He got accused of the shit. Diddled with his sisters and shit. Held up behind a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, there you go. That's a song that goes through my head all the time.
I hope that's one of those songs that is kind of full of shit, because it's like a source told People magazine. But, you know, and I get that you don't want to believe your husband did that, innocent until proven guilty, whatever. But if my husband was charged with stuff, and, you know, she's seen evidence that, or not evidence, but she's seen more than what we've heard.
Yeah.
That when that involves children, I would be very hesitant to have my kids around their dad.
Should it be?
I would be like, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, fuck no. I mean, he's accused of.
That's why I just really hope that story is not accurate.
What disturbs me is the fact that the judicial system even allows for it. That they're even like, you can do that.
He should be in jail, awaiting trial.
But
they released too much detailed information about it.
I would also guess that, but my guess is too, if the mom was sane. I think she's brainwashed. That's my opinion. I think she's drinking the Kool-Aid far too much, and it's like damage that ain't coming back from. That if she were to be like, look, I don't trust this guy. I've seen enough. I'm good. This has to stop. The judge would be like, nope, you're right. He can't be out. We're gonna honor that. But the fact that she's not, I think the judicial system then goes into her favor of trusting her judgment. But that's the fucking problem. We're trusting the judgment of someone who has been likely, allegedly, assumedly, I don't know. I'm thinking there's mental abuse of some form, way, shape, or form here that somehow makes her think that this is a wonderful person to be around. I mean, the guy, he admitted to fucking around with his sisters already. I mean, this is, that's fact. That's not like it's like hearsay. It's already been out there. And I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know how you give, I mean, how do you,
But you and I can't, but you know, when you think about, I don't know a lot about their religion, but in a lot of religions, well, I think that they believe that the man is the head of the household. Yeah. He's repented for his sins. You know, God will forgive him for that because he asked for forgiveness.
And God fucking
so I think that, I think that a lot of that might just be, you know, because the one sister is like wearing pants.
Yeah, I know.
That was a headline I saw. Like, that's the kind of religion that it said in the Bible, the whole thing about wearing men's garments. That's not exactly the Bible quote.
No.
But so,
you know, the Bible,
she has never worn pants.
Yeah. The Bible also talks about like false prophets and following false things that are going to try and lead you down really bad paths.
Yeah.
So many of those
religions, though.
This is that.
They don't. Yeah, but they only believe part of it.
I know, and that's the problem.
Like most religions, you could wear, women can wear pants.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're kind of picking and choosing what they want to follow.
Sure.
And in that religion, I would guess, you know, if it's, you know, wearing pants is a sin, standing up and speaking out against your husband would sure be one.
Yeah.
I would think there's some Bible passage that says that.
I know.
So it makes me.
It also says stone your children too, or like, you know, cut their hands off and all sorts of horrible shit. So, I mean, it's just, there's, it can be taken so many different ways, but
my guess is it's a religious thing and she's standing by him because it's the right thing to do.
When I look at these things, and if I'm going to look at it like from a religious standpoint, I mean, having grown up and having gone to a religious school for like up until sixth grade and being brought up in that sort of culture, I mean, I had a pretty good fucking education on this stuff and it was pounded into my head pretty fucking good. Not that I necessarily subscribe to it today all that much, but I know what these things say. And it wasn't like fundamental or anything like that, but I know what these things say. And it's like, okay, if there's ever like false prophets or things that are going to lead you that are going to seem like they're religious and they're going to lead you down a bad path, because it talks about that left and fucking right in the Bible. But the thing is, all these things, all these groups are like, this is that. If you want to look for the fucking bad motherfuckers that are using religion as a way to fuck kids and do horrible things, here you go. It's kind of in front of us, but we're all like, oh, it's such a cute family on TLC. I love watching it on demand. No, this is fucked up.
He wasn't on TV anymore, was he?
No, I don't believe
when
he
this was going down.
No, because the TLC canceled the whole fucking thing after his.
Yeah, they did after that thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, the family still embraced him like, oh, it's still Joshy. You know, he ruined our careers and ruined our life and all that. But, oh, it's still Josh. He's diddling with kids. I don't know. I mean, I've never been in the situation to like disavow a child, but you know, as when they're an adult, but I think like if I ever was in this situation, I'd be like, fuck you. Bye-bye. I'm sorry. We're not good. We're never going to be good. And you're never going to be around your nieces, nephews, any of that shit. Fuck you. Gone. You fucked with my own, because you fucked with my own kids, because he did. He fucked with his own fucking sisters. It's like, oh, when he's found God, and I don't know, their religion is fucked up. And I'm not saying religion as a whole is fucked up, but their religion is fucked up the way that they.
And I think that, yeah, they believe he repented and.
Yeah, no.
Therefore, it's all good.
It's fucked up. Josh was additionally granted unlimited contact with his children. I think I got through that part. Josh's trial is set for early July. If convicted, the former reality star faces up to 20 years of imprisonment and fines up to $250,000 in each of the two counts, making his total possible sentence 40 years. Josh's parents, Jim Bob, I love saying it like that. And Michelle Duggar broke their silence on the matter shortly after his arrest. We appreciate your continued prayers for our family at this time. The accusations brought against Joshua today are very serious, the joint statement read. It is our prayer that the truth, no matter what it is, will come to light and that this will all be resolved in a timely manner, it continued. We love Josh and Anna and continue to pray for their family. No matter what it is? Really? Is that truly what you mean? No matter what? Are you? Because no matter what it is, if it's brought to light, are you still going to be there for Joshy? Joshy, who prosecutors believe had more than 200 images of children on his computer, is no stranger to controversy. In 2015 and in a 2006 police report that surfaced indicated Josh was investigated for molesting five underage girls, two of which included sisters, Jill Dillard and Jessa Seawald. Josh said he was extremely sorry for the wrongdoing. That same year, Josh revealed that he cheated on Anna and admitted to struggling with addiction to pornography after Gawker reported about his active accounts on Ashley Madison, a website that helps to facilitate affairs. His Arkansas car dealership was then raided by Homeland Security in 2019 due to an ongoing federal investigation, but was never made clear whether he was the focus of the investigation. If your fucking husband's workplace is being raided by Homeland Security, he's admitted to he's extremely sorry for his wrongdoing of fucking with his sisters and other kids. Why the fuck are you like, yes, please impregnate me. Let's make more babies, you wonderful sex man, you. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I can't answer that one because I don't get it. I don't get it. The only thing that makes any sense is that she's very religious and she believes that she married him and therefore, you know.
I'm sorry. Those marriage vows do not absolve that sort of shit.
No.
Those marriage vows don't absolve
a lot
of shit.
No, not for you and me.
No, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, you can't do certain things. I'm sorry. You fucking, like, try to kill your family. You try to fuck kids. You do that sort of shit. Guess what? Game over, bitches. That's it. And you call it a fucking day.
Yeah, I just don't think with her, you know, she's probably never had to do anything on her own. She's probably got married, got, you know, out of whatever grade she graduated from, got married, has had babies. Yeah. You know, she probably doesn't pay the bills. I just think, you know, women in those kind of religions don't really get much of a voice.
I feel bad for her. I really do, because I think, again, I go back, I think there's brainwashing and we call it religion sometimes. And I don't think every religion is brainwashing.
Imagine what he's like at home.
I can't. But yeah, you're exactly right. It's got to be crazy. I mean, the only way a person is going to stand
way.
By this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's just, no, I think that like, I just, in my mind, she's like this meek woman who has lots of babies and he runs everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably a rather abusive relationship. I don't know that it's physically abusive, but, you know, I would guess he probably controls most everything.
Yeah.
And she certainly did not do, you know, here, control everything, and you can control my porn addiction on my computer at work.
And that's like, the craziest thing in the world. That. It's like, look, if you got a fucking porn addiction, you fucking deal with it. Don't expect your fucking wife to be like, stop looking at the titties and the kids and all this and that. Like, no, how about you get your fucking shit together and stop doing that if that's something you want to stop doing? I mean, for the love of God, I mean, yes, stop looking at fucking child porn. But if it goes beyond that and it's just like normal porn and you're like, please, wife, stop making me stop looking at porn. Fucking grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
Take some fucking accountability and stop
being... he's never had to do that.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know, they they dealt with all that back when he was fixed from his evil ways.
Yes. And Jesus Christ hasn't fixed his ways after all the fucking prayer from all 18 kids and counting. It hasn't been a strong enough prayer. So how fucking strong is that shit working for you, Duggars?
Yeah, this could get really uncomfortable for them yet.
It's just
understatement.
Utterly ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. Let's go on to something more uplifting. Two Louisiana men accused of beating woman's alleged rapist, then killing her.
Yeah, this is bizarre.
As we continue into the happy land times of the program, two Louisiana men are accused of viciously beating and stabbing a woman's alleged rapist. Initially, I say bravo. Before shooting the alleged rapist victim in the head, again, I say bravo. They then left her body in an abandoned Navy base to keep her quiet about the violence, according to new court documents laying out the brutal crime. I stop saying bravo there. Dylan Craddock, 27, and Cody Matthews, 33, are facing charges of second-degree murder in the death of popular Sidel waitress Brooke Bulcher, 25, after her body was discovered at the abandoned base on August 23rd, just one day after she was reported missing, according to the Times Piskine. Police said the court documents obtained by the newspaper, the men believed Bulcher was a liability after she witnessed them viciously attacking a man that she had accused of raping her. Both men are also facing charges of kidnapping and attempted murder in the attack. Just days before she disappeared, New Orleans police said Bulcher had confided in several people that she had been raped by the man she knew. Matthews and Craddock allegedly set out to seek retaliation. Bulcher's mother, Christian Nguyen, told local station WWL that Craddock had been good friends with her daughter since high school and was somewhat like a brother to her. The pair allegedly severely beat the man inside the Bulcher's apartment, stabbing him and leaving him for dead in a remote marshland. Court documents allege the man survived and was taken to a local hospital. Investigators said Matthews and Craddock both fled to a hotel in St. Bernard Parish. Bulcher had reportedly been with them at the hotel on August 21st, before she disappeared and was found dead 2 days later by a squatter staying in the abandoned Navy base. Police said Craddock's phone records show he had been in contact with Bulcher on the morning of August 21st and later appeared to be in the area where Bulcher's body was discovered, according to police. Dylan Craddock and Cody Matthews, Craddock's phone, who also allegedly showed that on the morning of August 22nd, he told the mother of his children that he was planning to leave his phone at his mother's home because he was going to be making a drop, which police said suggested he may have been trying to establish an alibi. According to police, authorities also found photos of Craddock's phone of both men at the naval site a week earlier, suggesting they knew the area. Multiple witnesses also called the Crime Stoppers hotline to report that Craddock had said he killed Bulcher because she had become a liability that could implicate them in the earlier kidnapping. Both men were taken into custody on September 3rd in connection with the man's kidnapping and attempted murder. While behind bars on that charge, police said Matthews was recorded in a jailhouse phone call telling someone he was present when Craddock killed Bulcher. An additional second-degree murder charge for Bulcher's death were added on October 1st. Bulcher's family described the waitress to WWL as a free spirit who loved the TV series Game of Thrones and often got tattoos of literary quotes, planets, or a lotus flower. How would you like to be known in death as like simply like liking a TV show?
That's kind of sad.
And getting tattoos that are just kind of like, eh.
Because they say, like, popular waitress, and then she liked the Game of Thrones. Like, you want to hear, like, something she did.
This is life. You like game? I liked binging Game of Thrones and literary quotes. Okay, welcome to the rest of the world.
So she knew too much about the original crime. Well, so she gets raped, And then I assume the guys go after him because they're pissed off because of that.
I think that's what it was. So it's her goddaughter.
She witnessed it.
Her goddaughter, Rhonda Delamore, told the news outlet that a month before her granddaughter's death, Bulcher had gotten involved with a man she met while on vacation in Florida. But the relationship had soon turned dark, sparking the deadly series of events. She just let everybody have a chance, and I'm afraid she met somebody who shouldn't have had it, Delamore said. Craddock is currently being held on a $1 million bond at the Orleans Justice Center. Matthews, who is in custody at St. Tammany Parish Jail, is being held on $625,000 bond. Both men have pled not guilty to the attempted murder and kidnapping charges in the first case. It's not clear whether they have entered a plea to the murder charges against them. So, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's like we're going to go kidnap and beat the crap out of this guy because he raped her. Then she's a liability because I'm assuming she knew or witnessed what had happened.
It's a crazy
thought.
Let's
kill her.
It's like, was it in the moment? I mean, because it said they left her there. Or did they kill her? You know, was it like, okay, we killed this guy and then we don't want to be involved any further. So I know you're sitting over here suffering, but we're going to assume that maybe you're going to get help and get out of this. So we're just going to leave you here. Or did they actually go through with killing her? Because that's the part I'm not seeing on that story is like, we killed her. Am I missing that?
I thought they had killed her.
Okay.
Because she was a liability to them.
So it was like, shit, we just did this. Well, fuck, she's going to say that we did this and we're going to go to jail for being vigilantes. So we better kill her too. Then why the fuck were you vigilantes in the first place?
Yeah.
It's like,
it makes me think there was meth involved.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's always meth involved because it's like, I think for a lot of people, it's like, that's two thoughts. It's like, okay, you're going to kill the asshole and you're going to be a vigilante. But the second thought is, she's going to see you do that. And it's like, oh shit, she saw us do that. Now we might be convicted because she might confess that we killed him. Yes, that's two thoughts. You should have kind of contemplated both of those thoughts before you did what you fucking did.
Right.
I'm not saying it's wrong to have killed the rapist, but it's like, you can't fucking go back on it halfway through and be like, let's kill the fucking victim too.
I mean, it is legally wrong to go kill the rapist.
Yeah, technically.
But I do, I mean, you know, if you were just so angered over what that person had done to your friend or whatever their relationship was, and that was a crime of passion.
That's different.
You know, but you then like to turn around and kill her too, that's just...
If you're going to be the fucking guy who's going to be the hero and going to kill the rapist, more power to you. But be prepared for 5 to 10 years at least.
Right.
And just know you'll probably be a hero for it. But you're probably going to go to jail, especially if someone's around to, and especially if she's there. I mean, maybe if you want to kill the rapist, maybe don't do it in front of her. Maybe, you know, wait till he's at his car or something. If you're, that's your fear.
And if that's what happened, like, how traumatizing. Not only was the girl raped, now I'd be pissed off at that guy, but to see somebody brutally beaten in front of you would also be traumatizing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's double traumatizing. Yeah, it's two for one. But, God, I feel horrible. I mean, those last moments of that poor woman's life is horrible. But it's... Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's like a two-thought moment that was not thought out. And just stupidity runs a fucking muck. And that seems to be what happened here.
This is why I went to meth.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, exactly. All right, next story. This is one we've talked about a little bit. Chad and Lori Daybell have been indicted for...
This one!
Yeah, murders of JJ Value.
This one pisses me off.
Yeah, so here we go. In St. Anthony, Chad and Lori Vallow have been indicted on first-degree murder charges for the deaths of Tammy Daybell Taylee Ryan and Joshua J.J. Value. Madison County Prosecuting Attorney Rob Wood made the announcement during a news conference Tuesday, which happened to be the day J.J. would have turned 9 years old. Wood, a special prosecutor in the case, was joined by local, state, federal law enforcement and other officials. The news comes after a grand jury convened over the past week in Fremont County. And lots of charges here listed. I'm not going to go through the whole charge list because it just gets very litigious. The penalty for the murder charges range from life in prison without the possibility of parole to the death penalty, Blake said. Prosecutors were not disclosing what penalty they will pursue, but if they decide on the death penalty, legally, they have to notify Lori and Chad within 60 days of their plea. Grand jury proceedings are held in strict confidence and are sealed from the public, so it's unknown what evidence and information led to the jury indictment. Wood and Blake released a few details about the indictments, but expressed thanks to the public for being patient over the past year. The indictments come nearly 1 year after the bodies of 16-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Vallow were found buried on Chad's Fremont County property. He was arrested on June 9th on two felony counts of conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence, and two felony counts of destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence. Tylee's body was dismembered and burned, according to court documents. JJ's body was wrapped in tight black plastic and secured with gray duct tape. Chad pled not guilty to the charges and has been in the Fremont County Jail on $1 million bail. Lori was arrested on February 20th, 2020 in Kauai, Hawaii, and extradited to Rexburg. She was charged with two felony charges of conspiracy to commit destruction, allegation to concealment of evidence, and has been in the Madison County Jail on $1 million bail. Lori pled not guilty to the charges. Chad and Lori married weeks after Chad's first wife, Tammy Daybell, suddenly died on October 19, 2019. The couple fled to Hawaii as police began investigating the disappearance of JJ and Tylee. Tammy's death has been under investigation for over a year, and an autopsy was completed in February, but results and her cause of death have not been released to the public. Lori's former husband, Charles Vallow, was shot and killed by Lori's brother, Alex Cox, in January 2019. Cox said the shooting was in self-defense, but the investigation is still open. Cox died of natural causes in December of 2019, according to Maricopa County, Arizona Medical Examiner. EastIdahoNews.com confirmed Chad and Lori in Hawaii in January 2020, and they refused to say where the children were. The case was thrust into the national spotlight, but the COVID-19 pandemic slowed progress down as grand juries were unable to meet. However, Wood said authorities have spent thousands of hours seeking the truth from these innocent victims, and Blake said the case has been moving forward behind the scenes. I want to assure everyone that despite the delays, we have been working diligently to pursue justice for the victims in the case to ensure we have evidence required to prove the facts beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, she said. Chad will have his initial court appearance in the new charges Wednesday at 11 a.m., it was today, actually. Lori will appear at 11:30. Hearings will be held via Zoom and will carry some outlets had actually carried the hearings live. Was this was made into a documentary, wasn't it?
I watched it, a documentary about it on maybe it was ID.
Because we
Discovery ID.
We had covered
it was
this,
one of those. Yeah,
we covered this on the show a couple of months ago, and it was like they were just kind of out there. They had not been charged yet, but it was like, where the fuck are your kids? And they're like, nowhere. And finally, they have fucking charged these people.
Well, and there's just so many things about this whole story that piss me off because, I mean, going back to her husband getting killed and like that poor guy had sounded the alarms. He'd gone to the authorities. He did everything he should have done. Then she went in and convinced him that everything that he said was a lie when it was true.
Yeah.
And then he ends up dead, you know, and then hit the guys. And this is also a weird religious thing.
Okay.
Because there's a whole element
well,
to that.
Well, we're shitting all over religion today, like, so let's keep it going.
Yeah, because it's like they're one of the 144,000, some bizarre number like that. that, you know, there's basically going to be the end times, and that 144,000 people, they're going to stay.
Oh, yeah, you're lucky.
And it's like, like who's going to believe? What? I'm one of the 144,000.
Got to go witness.
So they had a lot of people convinced of that. And he, so somehow, you know, her and him ended up together, which was just horrible. But his wife ended up dead. And I think he's been charged with that. I thought I had read that. But, you know, and the sad thing about the documentary that I watched was looking at the grandparents who had taken care of the boy who had had some special needs. I think he was autistic. And just the pain.
Yeah.
Like, they're, why didn't you just give him back to us? We would have taken him. You know, they could have taken the daughter in. Like, it wasn't like they had to do what they did. There was people who could have taken them and would have taken them. Then just go on, do your thing.
Yeah.
It's just sad. Like, why kill these two innocent children? And I think there was something weird, too, with her and the daughter, that when the husband had been murdered, I think she got, you know, she manipulated her daughter. And
yeah. You know, there was an interesting thing I heard today on MSNBC as I was driving around. And today is the 26th of May of 2021. And there was another fucking horrific shooting today in our country. And it was an interesting argument that was being made about it. And I agree with it 100%. People don't have a fucking cope. There's a generation of people who have no fucking coping skills. None. And we can look, I mean, and I'm all for looking at gun control. That makes sense. I'm not saying take every gun by any means, but there certainly can be some fucking reform here that makes sense. But far deeper than that, because that's not going to solve shit. It's a step in the right direction, but it's really not going to solve shit. At the end of the day, it's mental health that we are lacking on in such a grave way. And one of those big points in that is that it's coping skills. We have created 2-3 generations of people now that have very little coping skills. Some have gotten through it because they had parents that taught them fucking hard knocks and taught them how to deal with things and have coping skills. But the majority of the pie, none. And the schools certainly have not. Our education system is not. We've enabled everything. Everything is okay. Everybody gets a fucking award for everything. Everybody's a winner. Everybody's this. Everybody's that. And there's a lot of tough shit in life. So by the time people get to, like, living life, in many cases, everything's just like, how the fuck do I deal with this? And people go off the fucking rails so much quicker when no one has any coping skills. And that, I think, is one of the big things that we are missing in our country, is that if people could cope with shit better.
I agree. I don't know that that's the case in this story, because
maybe not in this
I think
story.
This woman was crazy like a fox.
I think in this story, no. But I think over when we're talking about
mass shooting today. Yeah.
It's coping
skills. Because that makes no sense. Like,
no.
So you're mad at your work, or I think that person worked there.
Yeah.
And so you're just going to go kill people?
People
that makes
used
no
to be
sense.
Like they just used to turn into alcoholics, you know, harmless shit like that. You know, but seriously, I mean, it would be like, you lost your job, you hit the bar, you have a couple of rough days, you pick up, you get your shit together, you go back on. Now it's like, go to the fucking gun store, go to the gun show, go to your buddy, go to Craigslist, go buy whatever fucking weapon you need to wherever you can, because there's really no way to stop you from getting one, no matter what your condition is, and go fucking off everybody at work. And that's what we have now. It's not just go on a fucking bender or just go be depressed for a couple days. No, it's go fucking take people out.
And I think there's probably even bigger extenuating circumstances, like really violent video games.
Yeah.
Or television movies where you're desensitized to it.
Yeah.
And so you fantasize about that. Because it's like, man, if you're being bullied at work, or you think you are.
Yeah.
or at school, especially at school because you're young and you don't have many coping skills anyway. But you kind of fantasize about it. And,
you're right.
Do it.
And you know what? You're right. And I'm not going to sit here and blame video games, but I will say this.
I'm not blaming the video game. No. I just think that there are certain people, if you sit around and do that all day, you're desensitized to it. And then you're like, it's not maybe even reality what you're... No sane person does that.
And here's the weird side to that. The sane person will go, it was a really stressful week. It really sucked. I'm going to go play Grand Theft Auto on my computer or my PlayStation or whatever.
An escape.
And I'm going to go fucking shoot up everything. And because you know what? I do that. I play those games. I have since I was a kid. And I enjoy it as a game. But that's it. It ends as a game. There's no part of me that goes and says, I'm going to go do this in real life. And it's a game. But the thing is, there's a good chunk of people that don't have that differentiation. Mm-hmm. That they look and they go, that's a fucking blueprint. That's like, and that's the scary part. But is the answer like, well, don't have those games? No, I mean, before that, there was just movies that did that shit. And before that, there was just the romanticizing of the legendary, you know, characters that did that shit in the Wild West. So, no, it's more so let's regulate the people and focus more on their mental health. So more people are in the lines of, fuck, you want to go play those games? Go blow off some steam. Have fun in the games. And make that your norm. But never make it your fucking MO of what you're going to do in life. And that's the problem. There doesn't seem to be any safety net out there where somebody's going to play the games or something and then go, no, I'm going to go try that because these fuckers told me I was wrong or I was doing a bad job. Fuck them. I'm going to go blow them away. And it's like, yeah, maybe the video games were kind of the blueprint to kind of show you what you could do. But if it wasn't the video game, guess what? There'd be a movie. And if there wasn't a movie, you have the fucking Wild West where we, you know, fucking glorified those people or gangsters or whatnot. We've always glorified people that do horrible shit. So the current thing is video games. But it's like we have to at some point take a look at our society and go, okay, we're civilized. We have these resources. Let's really put a good weight on mental health help. Let's really stress to kids growing up, hey, let's get you into, if you're intelligent, helping people. Let's get you into the mental health field because we really need a lot of people to do that. And let's make that a fucking priority. But we don't. We joke about those things. We villainize those things. We make fun of those things. And we sometimes take people who need those help, those services, and we kind of make them feel kind of wrong, kind of off. And we're still not to a point where it's like, this is really good. You really should see somebody. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And we're not there yet. And as long as we're in that fucking atmosphere, this shit will continue on. And I don't think it will ever be fixed in our lifetime.
I totally agree. I wish I could say I thought it would be, but I don't.
No.
I mean, there's not enough mental health resources.
There isn't.
So, you know, that would have to be increased so greatly. And we're so not even close to that.
No, I mean, we have great things now. What I love, I mean, there's things like one of the supporters of one of our other shows, betterhelp.com. It's a website where you can see a therapist online 24 hours a day. This is not an ad. They're not paying for this. I'm just demonstrating what the service is. You can see them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can text them and you can do all that stuff. And in so many parts of the country, you can't find a mental health professional for what you're dealing with because they don't exist. Unless you're in a major metropolitan area. Good fucking luck. When I was in Branson and I wanted to find a therapist, oh my God. It was like slim fucking pickings because that population there, it was all senior citizens. And that generation, I'm sorry, they didn't subscribe to mental health. So there wasn't a lot of options there. But there's mental health deserts all over. And there's so many things that need specialists to specific disorders and specific things. But we're in an area now where this at least does exist, where we can get it and we can get it for reasonable prices, but it's still not perfect. And there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. But I think we're on a path that's going to get us there. But I still think we are fucking miles, hundreds and thousands of miles away from really seeing a change in it. Because it's going to be a generational change. It's not going to be a, oh, got it, now I'm better. It's going to be a, no, you've instilled this in your children because this is important. And generation after generation finally gets their shit together and understands the importance of mental health is far more important than just physical health. And it will take 100 years, you know, to really get this under control. And I hope it does get there someday. And when you listen to this in the archives of podcasts from the past, there is a saying, I hope in 100 years that this happens in 2021, when you listen to this in 2121.
And it's like, oh my God, we have it totally fixed.
Yeah.
Which would be great. But I don't know. I just don't see the resources that are available. And, you know, there's so many extenuating circumstances, like poor parenting.
Sure.
No, you know, there's just people are.
There's nothing to step in. I mean, we're more stepping in on stray dogs than we are on children that are being abused at homes.
And it's actually quite true.
And I'm not, I love that we're stepping in on stray dogs. I love that we're helping animals, but we have such fucked up priorities on these things where it's like, look at these children, look how they're being treated. Well, but they're in the confines of their parents. Have you looked at the fucking parents? Well, that has to go to court. That has to do this. Well, they'll probably be dead before that happens. Well, that's how the system works.
And the thing is that you can do both. You can help children. You can help animals. You can do both.
It can be done simultaneously. Yes, it certainly can.
You know, and it just bothers me that whenever I hear about a kid, and these, the two kids, going back to this story, there was just people along the way. There was police involved along the way.
Yeah.
And nobody saw that coming. You know, and there was resources. They could have given the kids to the grandparents. Like, there's people who would have taken care of them.
I know.
And that's what makes no sense. You know, and sometimes, come to find out, there was an insurance policy or something. But I haven't heard of anything like that. I think they just wanted to get rid of them. It was just like, we're going to go on and start our own lives. And
that's the sick part.
Nobody's going to be looking for them. At one point called her friend or her cousin or somebody and was like, hey, if anybody asks, say that they came and stayed with you for a while.
Yeah. And you know what? That's called borderline. That's called borderline personality disorder.
That's called like you're fucking crazy.
Yes. I mean, in layman's terms, yes, it's called you're fucking crazy, but it's one of those things where I look at the look in that woman's eyes and it gives me shivers.
Yeah.
Because I fucking seen it before. And read into what you want, kids. But it's that disassociation from reality and that disassociation from what should be meaningful to you, but is not. And unless it reflects on you in a good way, and that's a disorder. There's disorders that are associated with that. And it's scary as fuck when you're in the grips of it. Speaking from experience. And
I'm not adding anything in.
No, but it is. It's scary. And I'm not in any way saying that anyone in my world would do something like this. But the disassociation of importance of a child, and that's it's fucked up. It's weird. It's scary because they can turn it on and be super supportive, and then in the next fucking sentence, not be. And it's disillusioning. It's weird. It's to someone who doesn't have that, it's just fucking spooky. But it exists. And watching this story has really, there's been elements of this that have like really been to me like, oh my God. Like I just, spooky, scary. And, you know, luckily I never ended up on an investigation discovery special yet, but I don't think I will. Because I think there's a lot of things that will point towards that. Like, and in his podcast, he said these things. It's like, yeah, he kept talking about being on a fucking investigation discovery special. Point taken. But anyway.
But I just, that whole story just really bugs me because there's just so many ways it could have gone differently. And like the husband ends up murdered and she's still like, I don't know.
It's all about them. I mean, it's narcissism, you know, at its fucking finest. You know, it's 100% narcissism because that's what a narcissist does. When you have narcissistic personality disorder, this is how you operate. But there's other disorders that are on that spectrum that are so fucking hand in hand. It's hard to say what is what. And from the outside, it's like, how the fuck do you do this? And it takes a special brain. And it takes someone who has gone through some sort of trauma to be able to think that way. Cause people don't come out that way. I mean, I feel horrible for someone that's how they operate. But at the same point, you can't live with that. It's not operational. It's not healthy. It's just a path to utter destruction. And it's scary as fuck.
I'll bet she's sitting in jail right now, I'm assuming. And she still thinks she's going to get out of this.
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she's telling herself it's this or that.
It's everybody else. It's everybody else.
And it's somebody, this is that, and this is that. And they start to believe their bullshit. And there's no reasoning with it. There's no way. I mean, as much as you want to and try and make sense of it, that's, again, as we talk so many times about these things on the show, you can't make sense of it. There's just no way to do it. Mm-mm. It's utterly fucking insane. So that's that. I think we've covered enough dark shit for the episode of today. I still had three more stories, but I'm going to save them for another episode if they're still relevant next week. But if you like our show, help keep us on the air, become a Dark Sider, sign up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com. Click Become a Dark Sider. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus content and more. All of it's commercial free. It helps keep us on the air. Without you, we could not exist. So thank you in advance for that. We love doing this show for you. We're far more than a year into this, and the show is growing exponentially. So this is one of those that we absolutely love doing. I've been playing with this. I know I keep talking, but I've been toying with the idea of bringing back the Nightmare Neighbors or Office Horror Stories now that we're kind of coming out of pandemic. I don't know. I'm throwing this to you on the air going,
you should try it. You should.
They were fun shows and people still ask about them. And I did like them. It was like Office Horror Stories. We kind of hit a brick wall because nobody was working in an office anymore.
And yeah, it felt weird people who are nobody's going to work.
It felt horrible, like begging on like office, you know, like all that shit. I mean, it's like we could like do Zoom stories, but it's like, yeah, we're just, it's so weird. And Nightmare Neighbors is like, well, let's try and keep pieces on it with our neighbors right now because this is fucking horrible. We're going through a worldwide crisis. So it was like just the worst timing for both shows, but both felt fun. And we got a lot of good stories. So I don't know, maybe at some point we'll revive one or both. I don't know. They're both in my mind. So if you guys want to reach out, tell me your thoughts. You know, you guys hit me up on or how to hit me up on social media. And you guys have been. But I don't know. I don't even like what to launch first because we're still kind of in that still excavating phase of COVID. But
Oh, hell. If you live where I live, everything, I swear, everybody thinks everything's back to normal.
Yeah. And,
so feel free.
In our world, it's like going to one store. Yes. Here's what we saw today. I went to Home Depot when I went to Lowe's. Home Depot, no masks, no employees wearing masks whatsoever. And right now, I'm okay with it if you're fully vaccinated, because I would like to not wear masks as well, because I am fully vaccinated and I believe the science and I believe that we're good if we're fully vaccinated. Go to Lowe's, you better be fucking wearing that mask or you're going to be looked down upon. So I wear it out of respect. But it's like one world here, one world there. And I went to a couple of different stores beyond that today too, and it was like, TJ Maxx, if you want to walk in that fucking store, there's somebody at the fucking door saying, put your mask on. Now,
Now,
why were they not there when we really should have been doing this is beyond me. But now we're doing it when it's like, now is the time to kind of let off. But like when we're like, we really should have been had like fucking enforcement. We're all like, nah, I don't know. Like everything is just, none of it makes sense. But I'm vaccinated. I'm happy to be vaccinated. Please go get vaccinated if you are not, because the sooner we all get this shit done, the sooner we can all get back to normal life, and the sooner me and Carol can go to Alanis Morissette concert in August.
Oh, I'm so excited. I bought my tickets before the pandemic.
And I bought mine after the pandemic, and I'm excited to go, and we're going to go to that and have a good time in August. Hopefully COVID doesn't turn into something else by then, and then we're not all zombies. But that's the thing. I mean, we can't do these things unless everybody kind of chips in, and it's not a fucking conspiracy. Just go fucking do it.
We want to do is see Alanis Morissette sing Jagged Little Pill. Is that too much?
Oh, my God.
I've only been waiting for 2 years.
You. I don't know. I've been waiting since I was in fucking seventh grade.
Right?
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Seventh grade was Jagged Little Pill.
Okay, I was a little older than that, but still, I'm so excited. I related to them on a grown-ass woman level.
I know.
It's like, did you, she's writing what I'm living.
Did you? Okay, here's a good question for you. When you're working in radio, and this is,
I was working in rock radio. Okay, at
this
that
is
time.
This is going off of our show topic because we're done with the show for the day, but we're gonna talk a little bit about radio just for fun. Okay, did you in radio when I'm assuming you were playing CDs back then too, right? Like CD to CD and carts.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay, now of course radio edits were sent radio edits in the mail by record companies, and we play that. I worked at a station where we had the fucking album, and it was the number one top 40 station in Green Bay, WIXX. Still, it's a legendary top 40 station in the circuit of top 40, because it's been around forever. And we played the fucking album. And what we had,
even when she says shit.
Well, no, here's the deal. On the fucking music logs, it said watch for word. We had to pot it down.
Oh, so you had to be sitting right there. So when she would say,
boom, plucker, you had to pull it down. You had to manually pot it down.
Oh
my God. I missed it so many times.
Oh,
well, and another one.
Yeah. Impossible.
Oh, that's chicken shit. That's the chicken shit. But here's the worst one. You ought to know. And are you thinking of me when you fuck her? I aired that more than once, too. So did you run radio edit, or did you run off the album?
No, actually, I think...
I don't know why the fuck I ran off the album.
I was more in copywriting and promotions at the time, but I think they recorded it onto a cart. They edited it in the studio, so you played it off of the cart.
Well, because that would make fucking sense.
Yeah.
But no, we had to, like, sit there and run the board on the fucking song. I mean, you're trying to, like, do phone calls and stuff off the air while the song's playing, and you're not thinking about it. I heard it so many times. Here's another fucking one I did. I wasn't even aware of. I was not intentionally doing this at all. Usher, you got it bad. Been there, done it, fucked around. After all that, this is what I found. I didn't know what he said. I did not know that he was saying, been there, done it, fucked around. I thought it was like funked around, because the radio edit sounds pretty much the same. It like, it's hard to tell the difference between the N and the K. And we were running off of the album cut. Because we sometimes use, like, that's the first thing you get sometimes before the actual single. So we put that in our system. It was like, okay, play CD cut 7 or whatever the fuck it was. And we ran it for months. And then somebody somebody finally pointed out, going, you know, you're playing the album cut that says fucked around, right?
No, not us.
I'm like, what? And I listened to them back to back in the production room. I'm like, how do you even tell? Between the radio edit and the... And so we never got in any sort of trouble for it. But it's like, technically, we were playing the one that had the extra k in it versus no in it. So good luck telling that in that song. But for months, I played fucked around on the radio.
Crazy.
But nobody knew. But I'm like, oh my God, I really was playing that version. But I had no idea.
It's kind of awesome.
I know. I mean, but yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody in town was like, they did it again.
We're playing the fuck song again. You know, but we could
play. I love this station.
But we could play Meredith Brooks' Bitch anytime you wanted without fucking question. But you say anything else, it's, yeah. But yeah, that's Adventures in Radio, kids. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. Thank you guys for listening. Again, support us at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.